So hey guys, are you frustrated with where you're at right now? Maybe stunted in your progress? Well, if you are, I want to recommend a place for you to go called Growth Day. Growthday.com/ed. It is the number one personal development app on the planet. It's got all kinds of high performance techniques in there, courses, accountability, journaling, live speeches from some of the top influencers in the world, including me. It's an overall environment to change your life. Growthday.com/ed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Ed Milet Show.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. So my guest today really doesn't need an introduction, but I'm going to give him one. A lot of you know him right now because he's so popular on social media as one of the great motivators and leaders of young men, actually people overall in the world. But I'm old enough to know a lot about him. And I just want to set the stage for you. You know, in sports, there's debates of who the GOAT is, like who's the greatest quarterback of all time, you know, who's the greatest NBA center of all time. There's no debate about who the greatest defensive back is of all time in the history of football. There is no debate. This man is the GOAT by a mile. I think the greatest defensive player ever to play the game. He's also somebody, most of you wouldn't know this, two-sport athlete, hit a home run and caught a touchdown in the same week, has played in a World Series and a Super Bowl. No one's ever done that before. And then he shifted into having a prolific television career, which most people forget about. And then he made a transition that shocked me into coaching and leading young men. And I think he's the most feared football coach by other coaches on planet Earth today. Maybe in the history of college football, nobody wants to mess with this dude or play against him. And he's got a new book out called Elevate and Dominate. It's out March 12th. He's got a show on Amazon called Coach Prime, which is aptly named for Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. Welcome to the show, my friend. Thank you for being here.
And I love that introduction. We're recording this. So yes. I'm going to wake up every morning. This is how I'm going to wake up every morning. I'm going to just play that intro and then I'm going to get up and go on.
I say that to people all the time when I get introduced on shows. I'm like, could you play this for my kids so they understand who their dad really is? Because they don't get it. So anyway, exactly. It's so good to have you here. And I got to tell you one thing on your book before we get started, everybody. Go grab his book. I thought, hey, you know what? We have a mutual friend in Constance. And I thought, well, Coach Prime's hot right now. He's got this book out called Elevate and Dominate. And it's cute. I think it's great. He wrote a book when he's hot. You know, everybody writes a book when they're hot. And the truth is, then I read the book. And I'm like, wait a minute here. This is legit. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, everybody, you know, I only have a few people on the show every year that write books. There is so much depth to this book. And stuff that if you implement it, he says these things every chapter where does takeaways from Coach Prime. Just trust me, it's a compelling read and you will learn things and it will help you change your life. So go grab the book. Coach, it's a great book. Congratulations.
Awesome. I thank you. And it's not just maximizing that moment of the hype and the height and the tension that we garnish here at Colorado. It's something that has been in me. So whenever I met with some people and they say, well, you need to write a book. I have this text message that I tweet out and I put on the gram every morning for the last 25 years, Monday through Friday. I'm off on weekends, Monday through Friday. No hesitation. You're going to see a message every morning. The first thing that God gives me and places in my spirit, say, you need to write a book. I said, you know, if I write a book, it would be called 21 Ways to Win On and Off the Field. That's what the title would be. And I even already know the title of my next book. I can't tell you, but I know the title of the next book because that stuff is in me and I want to get it out. And I don't want to harbor it or keep it inside. It's like bringing somebody like Warren Sapp onto my coaching staff. He has so much knowledge and expertise and wisdom, and you're not using it. Like, get your buddy in here and let's help these kids and let's bless these kids and let's bless people. They have so much inside of me that I've gone through and I'm still going through and dealing with it, understanding how to navigate through life. And that's where the book derived from. It's come from a real place.
I was going to say, the thing that struck me in the book was actually the first sentence, the first literally the first chapter of the book. I'd seen you limping around, and I knew from mutual friends that some things have happened. But I would say it's safe to say, because we're going to talk about it in a minute, Coach Prime's one of the most confident people that has walked the planet. And he starts out this book in such a humble way. It struck me, because that was not what I expected. And so I'd like you to talk. The first chapter of the book, he actually calls, "Even if you're broken, keep moving." I'm like, what does he know about being broken? All this dude's ever done in his life is win, right?
Yeah.
And then you talk about the fact, just, I want you to speak about this, because you start talking about, like, I don't cry a lot, but I got up in front of a group of people and I said, I need help. And you started crying. Mm-hmm. This man was in the hospital, you guys, for 23 days and had 9 surgeries and an amputation. And yet he's just gone on and kept leading. So start out, Coach, if you don't mind, just sharing a little bit about that experience and what it's taught you and how maybe it's changed you even a little bit.
It was one of the toughest times of my life, because I used my body to accomplish my goals, and my body and my speed and my agility and mobility is what provoked me to be who I am, to live out this dream of playing dual sports. And then when you're retired, but you're still in shape and you're still running, and you're still, I'm a demonstrative type of coach where I lead by example and I lead by what I do and what I say and how I get down. And to understand, like, something's wrong with me. It's wrong. And then you go get checked out and they say, well, you have a surgery, but you're still hurting. Like, this ain't right. And then you see that doctor's look, that look in that doctor's eye when you know something's wrong. And you're like, say it. We're going to have surgery. You need to go send somebody to get some clothes. You're going to be here. You're going to be here for a minute. I say, what's a minute? We got to have surgery, like, now. So I had blood clots. Mm-hmm. Had blood clots that were really severe. That's why I was experiencing the pain from knee down at the time. And they amputated 2 toes. And the sides of my leg, my kids said, it looked like I got shark bites on the sides of my leg. It's crazy, but it was a tough time, because in the wee hours of the night in that hospital, just laying in there, never questioned God, never said, why me? I never had any doubt that I would recover, had no doubt. I was just, let's go. And you sit down and you recollect some things, and some things now are truly important, because at first I was fighting for my foot. Then they said knee down. Then it was life threatening. So all these things are going on. So then you're dealing with 9 surgeries. So I was so medicated in and out. 9 surgeries in that amount of days, that's a lot. So you just going through it, and I'm dwindling. You know, I'm showering, not showering. You washing up, because I'm a clean freak. So I'm like, hey, you got to bathe me. I can smell myself. Washing up, brushing my teeth, but you won't leave that bed. I had to use the bathroom, and I don't know how long. And it was just a bad time, but it was a healthy time mentally to say, God, I don't know what it is that you got planned for me, but it's mighty. Because where I am right now, I'm going through it. But where you have me to go, it's going to be mighty. And I'm not going to doubt you, second guess you. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to praise you through it all. And I did. And I was able to recover and come out of it. So.
What I want everybody to listen to today while Coach is talking, he's going to say a bunch of things that are going to be life-changing that you remember. And obviously, he has a way of speaking that hits you in the chest. But I want you to be studying his mindset. There's millions of people listening to this. Just study this man's mindset. Obviously, it's backed by his faith. Something about you that I didn't realize, but I watched Coach Prime on Amazon, and then I went back and researched you. And here's what I find that separate. There's a lot of things that separate, like, the greatest from, like, the pretty goods, right? And one of them is your ability to play hurt. Like, even this interview today, I'm not physically hurt, but I got some stuff going on in my life that could distract me today. You know what I mean? And, like, I got to be able to brush that aside and laser in, because I get to interview and talk to a legend today. And I think you experienced this even with the men on your team. Like, I watched the game. You're like, injury is different than hurt. Can you play hurt? This man, by the way, you probably don't remember this, Coach, but he played an entire NFL season and a part of a baseball season with a bronchial infection that could have, like, sidelined a bunch of people. Like, he was hurt basically breathing-wise an entire NFL and baseball season. And then in this, now he's coaching, kind of limping around a whole bunch and still in some discomfort. Do you think that's a separator, people's ability to play hurt as opposed to just play when everything's perfect in life?
True. Well, first and foremost, everything is never going to be perfect. Aren't we all playing hurt? See, you related to a game. I'm relating it to life because I want you to win on and off the field. Aren't we all hurt? Somebody's going through divorce. Somebody's having financial problems. Somebody received terrible news from the doctors. Somebody, the cubicle you work in, the lady sitting right next to you don't like you, mistreating you badly, and you're not performing at work because of the discomfort. My morning message said, we can't win today if we don't focus on today. Focus on your now and give it everything you have inside to make it successful. It's too easy to distract you and to get you out of your character. It's time for you to huddle up with yourself, call your play, and execute. That was my morning message. I sat down in this chair this morning. That's what God gave me. Typed it up, and I put it out. That was the message. We're all playing hurt. Like the first chapter, even if you broke, keep it moving. When life knocks you down, get back up. The strongest steel is forged in the hottest fire. Nobody is living a perfect life. You're not the only one facing problems, but show each other compassion. Lift each other up and show compassion tremendously. Take care of yourself physically and don't ignore mental health. That's like the first chapter. That's how we come out the gate.
You come out of the gate in the morning with a routine. Yeah, we all are, but some of us have developed like habits and rituals and routines. Like to me, the separator is not what you do on the days you're feeling greater or motivated. What are you doing on the days you don't, right? And for me, and this is in the book too, like I've got some routines that kind of keep me on track, my habits, because under pressure, you know, this is a player too, like under pressure, you relate and reflect back to your habits or your lack of habits, right?
That's right.
So do you do anything? Do you have a routine in the morning or in your day that kind of like dials you in for you to be ready to take everything on?
Everybody knows, don't mess with me in the morning. They'll come in my office in the morning. Don't speak until I speak to you in the morning because that's my time with the Lord. That's my time where I'm kind of in this sanctuary called my office and I'm getting myself together. You know, I'm going through the thoughts from yesterday, getting ready with the thoughts from today and really devising a plan intellectually to go out there and dominate today. So I don't disrupt that peace. Don't call me with no foolishness. Don't tell me no foolishness. I don't want to have anything to come inside because usually when what comes inside, it manifests outside. You return it. And I don't like that. So I do have a routine, and it's not a ritual. It's like a routine of peace. And everybody knows me. I don't play about my peace. I couldn't seduce it. I couldn't purchase it. I could manipulate it. God had to give that to me and I earned it. So I don't play by my peace. Anything that comes between me and my peace, it has to go. So that's kind of my routine to just start with peace. And another thing, I don't allow myself to have a bad day. I could have a bad moment. I could have a bad minute. I could even have a bad hour, but never a bad day.
Really?
I'm not going to let it get to that point. You know why? Because I got the darn remote control of life to me. I could turn me up. I could turn me down. I could add some color to it. I could do anything I want with this remote control that controls me. And I'm too old and bold not to know me at that. I'm 56 years old, man. I know everything about me. I know what's going to make me mad. I know what's going to make me happy. I know what's going to make me smile. I know what's going to get on my nerves. I know me. I've introduced myself to me, and I know me in its totality. It is nothing that can happen in life that will catch me off guard. I dealt with deaths. I dealt with misfortunes. I dealt with lying, cheating, stealing, manipulation. I've dealt with all of it. And that's why I'm comprised to lead these darn young men into a life that they pray about, in the life that they desire. That's why God has called me, Collect, to lead these young men. And I love the calling.
Yeah. I watch you. I'm saying this is a man who stepped into his next calling. Like you've had multiple callings in your life, right? I just watched this. I'm like, it's obviously the Lord's had his hand on you all your life, kind of preparing you for like this moment. It almost, and what's interesting, anybody listening to this, he's doing the same for you. You just need to be aware of it. This moment you're in listening to this or watching this, you've been preparing for this moment all your life. Every letdown, every victory, everything you've learned, every lesson, every mistake you've made, prepares you for this moment right now, if you're aware of it, awesome. Right? If you accept that.
Awesome. God, you're awesome. You're saying it. But a lot of people can't see it and can't identify with it. And another thing that people don't want to do, they don't want to cut the umbilical cords. You don't want to cut the umbilical cord. It's something that's holding on to you and keeping you back where you're giving oxygen to, and you're keeping it alive, but you don't want to cut that umbilical cord so it can have life and you can too. Because sometimes you got to cut some stuff off in life. Sometimes you got to separate yourself in life. Sometimes you got to, you know, go up in the mountains and just say la and just get it and internalize it and then come out with the plan and let's go get it. Like, wow. Oftentimes you don't want to do that because you're comfortable. I'm good with being uncomfortable. I'm great with being uncomfortable. Like I'd never, you know, I was in a press conference this year. I remember one time I was rolling, I was flowing. I said, don't let me get comfortable. You're about to let me get comfortable, but I'm better being uncomfortable. And I make people uncomfortable. Yeah.
You make people uncomfortable. Yeah. Yeah. You think that's part of being a leader coach is the ability to believe in people and love on them. Same time, there's that little thing where they're a little uncomfortable around you. You know that, you know what I mean? That little thing. Like you believe in someone, you love them, you know they got that, but they're a little uncomfortable too.
Leaders make decisions that sometimes may not be popular. Leaders understand communication as well and use that as an asset, an advantage point also. Let me give you one other thing. Leaders got to be clear and concise. And I'm always clear and concise with what I want, how I'm going to do it, and this how I'm going to get it done. Now, you may not agree with it, but that's how it's going to be. And I'm not looking for your check mark or your approval to move on to take the next step. To go from glory to glory, or go to have a height. I don't need your okay, your hand claps and your pats on. I don't need that.
So, hey guys, as you know, I've partnered up with my good friend Brennan Bruchard, who's created the greatest personal development system that has ever been designed, called Growth Day. There's everything from journaling to accountability programs, live messages every Monday from myself and other influencers. There's an opportunity for you to get courses that would cost thousands of dollars completely for free. It's incredible. Go to growthday.com/ed and check it out. This episode is sponsored by Zippix Nicotine Toothpicks. Zippix brings you a totally satisfying, convenient, and great way to help you curb your nicotine cravings. I had a few friends of mine I've been playing golf with. They've got these toothpicks in their mouth. I'm like, what are you guys doing? They're like, dude, Zippix. I'm like, what is that? The more I dug into it, I'm like, wow, this is a really interesting product. Because here's what it does. Zippix toothpicks give you an easier and better and more discreet way to help you get your fix. They're also one of the most effective nicotine products on the market. Zippix also offers caffeine and B12 infused toothpicks if you're not a nicotine user or if you're trying to get away from your nicotine habit. Ditch the cigarettes, ditch the vape, and get some nicotine infused toothpicks at ZippixToothpicks.com today. Get 10% off your first order by using the code MYLETT, MYLETT. At your checkout, your lungs will be glad you did it. You must be 21 or older. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Zip more, smoke less with Zippix nicotine toothpicks. Despite everything the Fed has been trying, we are still feeling the effects of inflation. Filling up your car, grocery shopping, home repairs, everything is more expensive. And most of you are paying these bills with a credit card. Credit card debt is at an all-time high. If you're a homeowner, there is a way out. You need to call my friends at American Financing. They can put together a plan to pay off that high-interest credit card debt and create meaningful savings for you every month. They're saving people just like you an average of $854 a month and closing in as fast as 10 days. Don't wait. Get yourself into a better position. Call their salary-based mortgage consultants today. It costs nothing to get started. And if you start today, you could delay 2 mortgage payments, giving you greater savings up front. American Financing can help get that monkey off your back. 888-995-2440. That's 888-995-2440. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. When I'm listening to you and then reading the book, by the way, it's called Elevate and Dominate, guys. I think I've said that 14 times already, but I'll make sure y'all get this. When I listen to you, but when I read the book, I got something. I've had this thing, I've said, my best friends in my life, they toe this line and it's really nuanced and it's not easy. And the line they toe is, they have a ton of confidence combined with a bunch of humility. And then I'm reading the book, and you literally talk about this in the book. Yeah, but you talk about this in the book. Like people with a ton of confidence with no humility, they eventually make a mistake, burn out, don't have that thing where they self-correct or they're self-aware. Then I got these other friends. Right. They've got tons of humility, but no confidence. So you're constantly dragging them through life, right? Come on, stand up. Let's go. You keep picking them up.
Right.
You talk about that. Do you feel like that's something you have, or people that you're attracted to, coaches you want to have around you, have that kind of nuance of those two things?
Yeah, I got a quote on my wall around here somewhere. It says, "Don't allow my confidence to offend your insecurity."
That's so good.
I'll say that again. It says, "Don't allow my confidence to offend your insecurity." It's a way that you can be confident, but not arrogant, not obnoxious, not abrasive. It's just confidence, and that you know that you know that you know that you've been through this. You've been in that moment already. You've been through that trial. You've been through that challenge. You've been through that situation. That's why you glean the confidence that you're going to make it through, because you've already lived that. You've already internalized that. You've already seen it. You've already done it. So that's why you walk with that confidence. When I played the game, I prepared so darn much. I saw Jerry Rice when I woke up, when I went to bed. I knew when he lined up on the left side of the line and he put his outside foot up, he was running the inside route. It wasn't that I was great. I studied and I prepared. So I was confident in jumping it to make that play, because I was prepared. And confidence is escalated by preparation. How can you be confident and you're not prepared?
Yeah.
How can you be confident when you don't have knowledge on subject? It's hard. The best test that I've ever mastered in school, I studied and prepared my butt off. So I was confident that I was going to pass and be successful in that test and make an A or B plus or whatever. I had no thought process of failure.
Yeah, he has this chapter in the book. I want you to get the book and read it. But he basically says, make confidence your natural odor. You just need to read this chapter, you guys, on confidence. It's really, by the way, I read this book like this. Like, I got it late and I read it like this. There's another thing I want to ask you about, because I've heard these terms, but I don't even know the distinction between them. The next chapter in the book, he says, are you a leader or a dog? And this applies to life, not just football. What's the difference between a leader and a dog?
See, coaching, you normally see the C on the chest and cap. I reserve that for the military. I reserve that for the police force and all that. And I have a heck of a respect. I don't think it should be a guy with C on his chest as a captain, especially now in the NFL. You got a quarterback that has a C on his chest. Now he's leaving because he wants to get paid more for another team. So how can your captain abort the ship and abort the plan? I don't like that. I have leaders and I have dogs. Every leader ain't a dog and every dog ain't a leader. I don't expect the dog to be the leader, and I don't expect the leader to be the dog. I expect you to be you. And just because you walk in the front, and just because you talk the loudest, and just because you make the most money, that don't make you a leader. A leader is that thing, that je ne sais quoi, that you have, that's infectious, that makes people want to follow you, that makes people want to listen to you, that makes people want to read your books, that make people want to just find out more about you and Google you. That's that thing that you have, that you don't have to walk in the front. You don't have to, because when I played the game, believe it or not, I never made speeches to my teams I played for. I never called everybody up and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. I never did that. I led through action, and I led through consistency. I didn't lead vocally. I led through action and consistency, because you got to understand, I was coming in football late because I was playing baseball. In baseball, I was one of the young guys, because baseball players go up to age 40. I was still a young pup in most of the teams that I played for, and playing two sports. So I wasn't there the full time as well. So I was never the guy that they would have put a C on his chest, but I was a leader. But the dog is that innate person that you never mistake a dog for a cat. You never mistake a dog for a person who won't swing first. You know, that dog is that guy who's going to start first. Yeah, he going to pat a 1 foot back. Or she going to take her earrings off. And she going to put Vaseline on her face. And, you know, she ready. She brought some tennis shoes that they could get the grip. She going to take off the heel. Like, that's the dog, that he's ready to get down no matter what. He's a dog. in life, sometimes you got to be both, man. And sometimes you got to be both. Sometimes when you call a meeting with your staff, not only you got to be a leader, but sometimes you got to be a dog. Mm-hmm. And some of us are equipped with being able to hit a switch and to be both, but some people are not. But you got to know who you are at this age and stage of your life. You would be a fool not to understand who you are.
Mm. I think I have a year of eligibility left. I don't know how many 52-year-olds you're signing, but I would love. I probably still play strong safety or something. I want to run through a damn wall right now. What is a? But I got to tell you, like, there's such substance to the book. Like, he's obviously like this amazing communicator, but man, that's a separator in life. It's like you can say all these pretty things, but at some point you got to walk it too, right? Like, you got to walk the walk as a leader, right? And you think your kids pick up on this with you? Not just like, because obviously you walk in a room, you got cachet, you're the GOAT, right? So there's something to that. Like, this is Coach Prime, and I mean, my God, you get a chance to be around the greatest of all time at something. But I got to think, after like a month or two, you're the coach. Like, they got to see you currently walking some type of a walk as a leader. And I feel like a lot of leaders, mm-hmm. even parents, like, well, at one time I did this, so you should just learn everything I say now, right? But I think you have to be relevant in your leadership currently as well, right? You feel that way for you?
100% correct, because what I did is what I did. Today's kids are more into the now. Like, everything they're looking at on social media deals with the now. They may recollect and go through your page and see what you did yesterday, but they're only looking at that to establish the consistency. Are you that guy now that you were yesterday and the day before? So what people are looking for is reality, because we have such a fake and a false world that everybody could go purchase what they want to look like they want, to feel like they want, to be who they want. Everybody could go purchase that now, and everybody is attracted to authenticity, whether they believe it or not. And everybody is opposed to authenticity, whether they want it or not. Because the most successful music acts or celebrities that can sing or rap or whatever, they're authentic. We feel like we know them, like we can touch them, and they allow us to know that they've made mistakes. Nobody's looking for Mr. or Mrs. Perfect anymore. They're looking for flawed people that will stand up and say, you know what? I did that, man. That was me. That was me. I did that. I messed that up. But guess what? Guess what I learned from that mistake? Oh, my God. Thank God that happened to me, because I would never take that left again. I'm just going to stay right. So if it wasn't for that left, I wouldn't even know what the right. I love the hate. You know why I'm attracted to the hate? Because if it wasn't for the hate, Ed, I wouldn't know what love feels like. I wouldn't know what love looks like. I wouldn't know what love was about if I didn't receive the hate, because I know that ain't love. So this has to be.
Wow. When you get hate, Coach, do you ever, because you do get it, you're a lightning rod for it. You even had another coach this year say some stuff that you leveraged it really well, though. We won't go into all that stuff that happened, but like, boy, I was watching you the week of that game. I'm like, oh man, thank God you won that game too. But like, I remember the week of that game going, oh boy, this dude made a huge mistake saying this stuff about Coach Prime and his mom. Like, huge mistake. Do you ever, though, look at that and distinguish hate from like valid criticism? Do you ever listen to somebody that's being critical of you and go, hey, any of this apply to me? Do I need to make a change here? Is that valid? Do you allow that to guide you at all, or no?
Why would I listen to my critics when my critics have critics? I'm going to listen to a critic who has a line of critics. Ain't no way. Because some of those people are criticizing you to just get your attention. The last thing I heard about attention, that you had to pay it. You got to pay attention. So that's a fee. That's going to cost. So if you're not going to pay that cost for my attention, I'm not going to give it to you, because my attention ain't free. My attention ain't free. Ed. My attention ain't free. You're going to have to pay. You got to pay attention.
Every time I do an interview, when I do an interview, Coach, I always go, that'd make a good Instagram clip. We've had like 11 of these already. Like, you know what I mean? In a good interview, you get like one, you're like, that's going to be the clip. I don't even know what clip I'm going to use in this thing right now. It's so damn good.
I
what about
life.
Your faith? I want, before the interview gets too far away, I like want to ask you about your faith. Like, okay. I watched you as a player. I feel like there was just some point in your career, and I don't, I'd like you to talk about when it was or what it, how it was. I mean, it certainly seems deeper to me now.
It is. Yeah, how it is, because why? I went jail. And that's why I tell people to be careful who you have as a role model, because most of us were models just playing a role. I'm just giving you the picture that you wanted to see, because it's really not me. I'm not prime time. I'm Dion. You don't care about Dion because you care about prime. So I got to give you prime. But the thing about it, both of them has an expiration date. And it's not, they don't equate to one another. They're not going to die at the same time. One is going to die. The persona is going to die much quicker than the person. So what you're trying to kill is the persona, because you don't really know the person. And I got lost trying to satisfy you all with the persona. And I began to be suicidal. I mean, I'm on the top of my game, on the top of the world, several different commercials. And how in the world can I be suicidal? How in the world can I not want to be here? Well, I was going through a tremendous divorce, and my kids were stripped away from me. And those are the only two people that I felt like loved me in my whole life, because it was genuine. Like, these are my kids. They came from me. I know they love me, because I know you don't. I know you don't. I know you don't. You love what I'm capable of doing for you, but you don't love me. But you know why you don't love me? Because you don't know me. And let me go through this soliloquy so you understand right where we were, right where I was parked at the time. I'm in a 15,000 square foot house, but never feeling at home. I have hundreds and hundreds of suits, but I can't cover up the pain. I got 500 or more pair of shoes, but I can't take a step in the right direction. Several cars parked in the driveway, exotic from old 64 Chevys, but I ain't going nowhere. You mean I'm sleeping in between two and three women, but nobody is satisfied? And I'm sleeping on a $5,000 to $10,000 bed, but I ain't getting no rest. So you're going through all these emotions and all these challenges, and you're just not happy. Like, I'm 3 for 4, and I'm still going to commit suicide after the game. So all this stuff came to a head where I finally had to get on my knees and say, Lord, take me, man. I can't do this no more. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't stand it. I can't stand the life. And it's not that, see, Ed, I've never smoked in my life, Ed. I've never been high, never drank, never tasted alcohol, stopped using profanity when I was 19 years old. So it wasn't those vices. It was other vices, but it wasn't those vices. But I just didn't have peace, and I didn't have joy. And I knew God was calling me, but I didn't want to be hypocritical, because I despise that. Someone saying they this and not this, I despise that. So I was trying to clean up before I go to the Lord. It ain't no way you can clean up before you go to the Lord. You got to go to the Lord to get clean. I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. So finally, you know, after going through hell and trial and tribulation and attempting to commit suicide, I had to surrender and give it all to him. That was the place. But you know what broke me, what almost broke me and hurt me, that when I came out and told the world about this is what I was going through, this is what I was dealing with, they didn't believe me. I'm like, so you think I'm going to tell you all this? What's the gain? I already got money. So what am I gaining? Like, what? I already got fame. What am I gaining to tell you that I've accepted the Lord? I'm tired. I was broken. What am I gaining? And I wish somebody would have told me that my most critical people would have come from inside, not outside. The church folks. That was my most critical persons, not the sinners. The sinners was like, hey, man, God bless you, man. Tell me how you did it. Tell me how you stopped that Lamborghini from going 200. You know, tell me how you slowed everything down. And like, yeah, the church folks were like, oh, ain't no way in the world he could do that. So no. What you're doing is telling on yourself. You're telling that if you had all these things that you couldn't do it, because you said I can't, because you think about the things, because the things had me. I didn't have them.
Brother, I love you, man. That's one of my favorite. I'm, that's like, I've done 600 episodes. That's one of my most treasured moments ever of doing this show right there. You're a good man.
Thank you.
Wow. Hey guys, I want to talk to you about Shopify. You know, when I started the show, the furthest thing from my mind was doing online business, and now I can't imagine my life without it. So I love Shopify because they're a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. So whether you're in the startup phase where you're just launching your online store, or you're at that really big business where you're like, hey, we just hit $1 million in order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. They've helped me through every single stage. I wouldn't even know what to do without them. So whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered big time. They help turn browsers into buyers. They convert. Their checkout's 36% better than all the leading competitors. And I've used them for everything I do online. So every single thing you see that I market online, Shopify is somehow involved. I wouldn't even know what to do without them. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/mylet, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/mylet now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/mylet.
America starts the day with America in the morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood.
So
far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the morning. The podcast, available wherever you listen.
I appreciate
bro,
you.
Like, brother, really, like, yeah. You're most qualified in life to help the person or people you used to be. And that's why that's so Amen. Profound, because so many people.
That was profound. No, hold on. Say that again, because that's profound. I never heard that. Say that again, please.
You're most qualified in life to help the person or people you used to be. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That explains why I'm passionate from the people that are broken, that have done this, that have done that, they naysayed, people disliked them, disowned them, you know, ridicule them. That's why I'm attracted to those type of people to help.
Yep.
To
Same here.
Help. I just picked up a blue on the street the other day, just walking in the backpack. It was snowing. I'm like, my brother, get in. What's wrong with you? It's 5 degrees. What is wrong with you? He's like, Coach Prime? Like, hey, man, I ain't got time for that right now. Where you need to go? Where do you need to go? Because I'm taking you wherever you need to go.
Did you really?
I mean, that's
That's beautiful. Yeah, me too. I always wondered, why am I so called to this work? And it's not even something I came up with. Someone said it to me a while back, and I'm like, you just explained me to me, maybe for the first time. Like, I get it now. I got this thing on my heart where I want to, you know, I was broken. I'm still broken, but I'm a little less broken, you know, and so I want to help broken people. You know, I want people, I didn't have hope at one time. I want to give people hope. I wasn't always inspired. I know what it's like to be a liar and live the wrong way. And I want to help people who are doing that. And anyway, I watch you and I understand why the people close to you have such reverence. Like Constance, our mutual friend, she's told me for years, like, I wish you knew this man. He reminds me of you, number one, but number two, his heart is so good. And I'm getting that now. Like, I'm really grateful that I'm getting a chance to, I mean, everybody gets to listen in on me talking to you for an hour is what I feel like right now. And
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're a good man. Thing he's saying, but I'm gonna go through a couple more things because you're so loaded with gold. We don't have too much more time. I got about 15 minutes, but it's weird that you say this because I've said this term forever. Always ask when I go talk to teams, I'll say, who's the rabbit on this team? Who's the rabbit?
Wow.
What I mean by that person, when I say it, you say it a little bit different, but what I mean by that is on every team, if it's a company or a sports team, there's a rabbit. It's the person who sets the pace. It's the person that everyone's chasing their effort. Everybody, I know, I can tell you right now, I'm college baseball when I played. I know exactly who our rabbit was. It was our little second baseman, Trini Ruiz, shortest dude on the team, 5'6", just outworked everybody. Every time I'd show up early, this dude was there before me. I'd leave BP an hour after everybody else. Frick, Trini's walking back in the batting cage. You know what I mean? He was the rabbit. And you talk in life in life about having, what's your rabbit? And I love the way you say this. So what's it mean for you?
First of all, I'm from Florida. So we had dog tracks. growing up in Florida. And if you ever been to a dog track, these beautiful greyhounds, beautiful lean, you can see their muscles, they in the chutes, and they let them out, and it's a rabbit that runs around the inside of that rail. They never catch the rabbit. But the rabbit is the goal. The rabbit is something they're chasing. And I'm asking you, what's your rabbit? Because we're all chasing something, man. Whether it's popularity, whether it's love, whether it's reconciliation, whether it's finances, we're all chasing something. And when I say, what's your rabbit? I'm sitting up there saying, this helps us discover our why. Because when I meet these young men for the first time and we're recruiting them, they think they're recruiting me, but I'm recruiting them. You know, can you fit with us? What's your why? I need to know your why, your rabbit. And some of them can't understand that or can't reconcile what I'm saying. And it's that thing that keeps you going, that gets you up in the morning. See, I was 7 years old and I told my mom I was going to be rich. I was going to make a lot of money and you're never going to have to work another day of your life. She said, yeah, okay, until the end, go get the lawnmower and go out there and cut the grass. I said, cool, I got you. That's how my mama get down. That's who she was. True story. But that was my rabbit. My mama never saw me play a football game, a baseball game, or a basketball game in high school because she was working. She worked. She worked the night shift. She worked the evening. She never. Now, she saw me play peewee ball because it was on Saturdays. But she never saw me play throughout high school. So she reading the papers and this guy's doing this. College is getting that. I said, Mom, what you think I should do about college? She said, I don't give a damn where you're going. You're getting up out of here. You're getting up out of here. I don't care where you go. You're getting up out of here. So I'm like, I can't let this continue. And she having this life, ends never met. They never really saw each other. And I could do better. I could do better. I could help her. And that was my rabbit, man. So I never stopped to this day. My mother has not worked since 1989 when I signed a dotted line for the Atlanta Falcons. And she would never, ever work another day of her life because that was my rabbit. And that's still my rabbit. My mother lives with me. Like, so every time I go home and see her, I'm like, that's my rabbit. I'm still chasing that. I'm still trying to catch that, making sure I fulfill my promise when I say she's never going to have to work another day of her life. That's my rabbit. That's my rabbit.
Yeah. Sad way to go through life if you don't have a rabbit, you know.
You got to have a rabbit, man. Yeah, it's got to be something that, and you got to see it. Don't say, oh, I want to be the president. You got to be able at least to see it. Don't just fantasize. That's a fantasy. I'm just talking about the rabbit. See, the rabbit in the dog track, they may not have been able to smell it. They can see it. They can see it. You got to be able to see it, man.
What a huge point. Oh my gosh. Because people get these big, huge dreams. I'm like, you probably should just catch your next rabbit, right? That's the one thing on the dog track. They do keep it pretty close to the dogs. It's not so far in front of them that the dog thinks they can't catch it.
Can't attain it. It's not that far out that you can't attain it. It goes steadily and slowly that you could almost grasp it. That's why they put the muzzles on, because they're scared that somebody's going to catch it. Somebody's going to catch it. So let me just cover your face up with a muzzle just in case you catch it and bite it. And I don't want that to happen. I just want you to catch that rabbit.
I've always wondered, I'm just sitting here going, my gosh, this is so good. Like, I wish we could do like 9 hours of this. Like, I'm blown away by how good this is. What's it like? I've always wanted to ask somebody. I asked Brady this maybe like about 8 weeks ago. We were at something together and I asked him, but I'm curious as to your answer. And all y'all be interested in this. Do you ever wonder what it's like when you are the goat of something, what that feels like or what you're thinking? I've always wondered this. So you would line up in an NFL game and half the defensive coordinators would literally just say, forget that side of the football field, right? Like he would literally eliminate a side of a football field to throw to because this man stood over there. Deion did, Coach Prime. I'm just wondering, like, what's it like being that? Like, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, in terms of speaking on stage, it's probably going to get me in big trouble. But, like, I'm kind of known as, like, that person in speaking. Like, and I know what that feels like in my body. You know what I mean? I know what it feels like. From your perspective, in your prime, Coach Prime, what did that feel like? Was it – did you feel that? Was it like you're relying on just your preparation? Was there just like this, I just got this? What's it feel like when you walk out, whether that's being a, some of you that be a business person or you're the goat of moms, This is the GOAT by a mile of all corners of all time, all defensive backs of all time. What does that feel like to be that, if you could describe it? I'm just curious.
It's two things, but it's contradicting. Okay, the first one is when you walk into a stadium, and this is no lie, when I walked into the Georgia Dome, I felt like every darn person inside that stadium came to see me play. And I was not going to disappoint him. I was going to send you home with some type of memory, some type of thought, some type of feeling, some type of inspiration, a joy that you would never forget. Like, I was going to give you more than your ticket price. That's what I thought. Secondly, in a contradictory manner, I never felt like that guy, because that would have disabled or disarmed my work ethic. Mm-hmm. So even though I would throw a shit out and nobody would catch a ball, I would go home and study the film and say, okay, he had me on that if they would have thrown right there. Oh, darn it. I got to stay lower and come out of my break. Oh, he could have called that out right there. I was my worst critic, not you. I was my worst critic, not the fan. I was my worst guy. Even playing a game that you thought was perfect, I looked at that film and I said, no, let me go work on that. So I would go work on that next week in practice, work on what I felt like I lacked, because I never wanted to feel like that. I thought like that guy, but I didn't want to feel like that because I didn't want that to disable me from being who I was called to be.
Wow. Why are you a great coach? Let me tell you why I ask you this. Typically, great players cannot relate to guys that aren't as athletic of them or as work. So, like, I'm thinking, you go through all of the GOATs of coaching. Like, if you think Coach Saban's the GOAT, what a great player. Coach Belichick, what a great player. Tom Brady's probably not going to sit on the sideline. Peyton Manning didn't choose that path, right? When I was a kid growing up, you know baseball real well. My hitting coach when I got pretty good was Rod Carew, one of the great hitters of all time.
Oh, my God.
So I was really – he saw me at a camp when I was a kid, like 15. He's like, I'll work with you. But yet – Rod became a hitting coach at MLB, it didn't work out real well. By the way, Rod's been on the show too, but it didn't work out real because he just doesn't get why you can't do what he could do, right? And so when you went into coaching, I'll be really honest with you. You were at the HBCU. I'm like, yeah, that's cute, but like he ain't going to be able to relate to an average player every day. It's going to frustrate him. Why can't you run a 4.240? Why don't you show up 2 hours early for weights? Like, so – how have you been able to deal with that? Because it's very, I can't even think of anybody else that's like a great, great player, Hall of Fame, not just Hall of Fame. Then in the Hall of Fame, there's like a few. There's the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Fame, and that's where you are. Has that been hard for you? And why do you think you've still been able to be a great coach?
I got into coaching for all the right reasons. I'm sitting on there trying to be a great dad. I'm sitting on the sideline with my two sons out there. I lied about their age because they're two years apart, but I said they're 1 year apart because I didn't want to go to two different practices. So I put them together. They were like 5 and 6 years old at the time. 5 and 7, but we said Shador was 6. So I'm sitting up there and they're doing angle tackling. And the coaches got these kids 15 yards apart and they're about to kill each other. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to get concussions. So I get up, go over there, tighten the drill down for them. And, you know, they respected me enough to say, okay, sit back down. They're doing another drill, which is totally incorrect. I'm like, these kids are going to get hurt. Got back up, showed the instruction, sat back down. So the second time I sat down, I see them doing something else stupid. And I'm like, if I'm going to keep getting up, I might as well do this myself. That's just the way I think. So sitting on that sideline for the continuation of that practice, I thought about a whole team, tryouts, everything. Okay, I'm going to call this guy who played with me with the Cowboys. I'm going to call this guy. We're going to try to get this Cotton Bowl for the tryout. I'm going to go on the TV as well as the radio. I'm going to do spots. I had this whole thing contrived in my mind while I'm sitting over there and came up with the name Truth, Trust in God, Respect Myself and Others, Understand I Have Unlimited Possibilities, Try My Best Never Give Up, Honor the Truth and Its Creed at All Times. So the name is Truth. That's what the name of the team. We had 1,500 kids try out. 1,500 kids come and try out. And I was so hurt and devastated because we couldn't keep even half of the kids. So I kept two teams. 5 and 6 year old flag, 7 and 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. When I rented the school down the street, we had a whole summer camp where I bought school buses. We went out to pick the kids up from the various places. We had academics. We had football 101. We had conditioning. We had spiritual class as well, where we gave them a word. So every day we had a schedule that the parents would drop off at this time, and we would take them back at this time where they could pick them up. All because there was a need and there was a lack thereof. So I'm not coaching to fulfill something that was empty in my life. I'm coaching to fulfill a need. And I've always been one to answer a need. If you don't have enough water, I'll go get some. If there's a piece of paper on the ground, I'm not going to wait for the custodian. I'm going to pick it up. Do we need uniforms? I'll buy them. We ain't raising the money. I'll buy them. I've always been one who God called to help fulfill needs. So I was always attracted to the desolate places. I'd never been attracted to a place that already was there. When I started my youth program, it was none like it. None like it. Then we had football, baseball, basketball, track, soccer, as well as cheer. So we took over the whole darn state. You know, when I went to speak to the Hall of Fame and I was giving my Hall of Fame speech, it was 7 busloads of kids and parents that had traveled from Texas with me on that journey. We stopped and played in Memphis. We stopped and played in Louisville, Kentucky. And we played in Canton, Ohio. So wonderful. When the country just started knowing me as Coach Prime, I had been Coach Prime for 15 years prior. Wow. So God had already prepared me for this in the dark so that when he turned on the light and give me the stage, I was ready. So that's at incredible. Jackson, I was already prepared for this for years. The only reason it took me that long because I was proud of myself on being a great father. So now my kids, I'm getting ready to be an empty nester. Shador's going to FAU. Shiloh is already at the University of South Carolina. My youngest daughter is living with her mom. I'm good. And God said, no. Time for you. Time for you to coach. I said, you got to be kidding me. And that's how all that happened. That's what transpired. But I had been coaching and running the program. Pee-wee football, high school, we won 4 state titles in high school, and I was ready to just shut it down and chill and go be a fan. So I'm not coaching because there's a dead area. And what I've learned through coaching, I don't try to make that kid me. I try to make him the best him that he could be. I can't take Travis Hunter and turn him into me. I got to take what Travis does well and work on those things he don't do well and show him the direction. But I don't want them to be me. And I think some great players who have dabbled into it, they looking to create themselves in a young man. I'm good. I don't need that continuation of me. I don't need that to feel like I'm there or I arrived. I'm trying to help these young men, which 95 or 90% of them are not going pro. So my focus is not on that 5 to 10% that is. My focus is truly on that 90 to 95% that isn't, because I want them to be great men.
Speaking of that, I got 2 questions left for you in respect to your time, too. You started at a historically black college, and when you say 90 to 95% of these men are not going to go play professional football, they're not. But a large percent of them are black young men. And yes, you coach kids from every ethnic background. I watched you on your special. But I'm wondering if, to some extent, it matters to you or matters to them that they're being led by a man that's also a black man. And if there's an element of that, or was there not for you, that even that situation that happened with that other coach, I think part of it that probably had to be even slightly more hurtful was that it was another black man calling out a black man. I don't know that for a fact. I know a bunch of people that know you, and I don't think you could ask this enough, but is that part of it, to be a father figure, a role model for these young men? I know that I've watched you. You're coaching all these young men, and you coach them the same, but I'm wondering if there's something to that for you or for these young men that's meaningful to you. Yeah.
You're 100% correct. I'm trying to be the navigational system through life for them. So all the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations, God allowed that to happen so that I could navigate these men through these tumultuous times. it's unbelievable what they're dealing with. Like we got a couple kids dealing with girl problems. Shoot, I had two divorces. You come to me. I know what to do and what not to do. All right, come on in here. Let me tell you about Coach Brown. Let me get butt naked and tell you, not physically, but let me tell you how this is going to happen, how this is going to go down. Okay. So I've been allowed to go through some things, man, that has prepared me and over prepared me for such a time as this. I love these young men. I don't coach them. Like I genuinely love them. I don't come to work. I come to my calling. I don't come to work. I come to have fun. I don't come to work. I come to inspire, encourage, and motivate, you know, and point in the right direction. So the main thing, we have relationships with our players, man. So it's not just a coach player. It's like, and you're not my homie either. I'm your coach, you know, and you can look at me as a father figure all you want, but I am here to shed light and give you direction and protection. Mm-hmm. And correction. So, and I love right. it. Mm-hmm. It's not a day of work, man. It's a calling. And I absolutely love it. When I'm not here, I'm thinking about these young men. You know, I'm thinking about this program. That's why I was downstairs and tardy to get into you, which I'm never late, because I had a whole staff from Utah come, you know, and shoot, it was unbelievable. These men came here because something that I spoke registered to them in their community and said, we got to go find out more about that, about this program.
So good. So beautiful. I've enjoyed this today so much. I have to tell you, like, it's one of the all time conversations of my life to get to know you better. And I admire you in a different way than I did prior. Reading the book took it to a different level, but feeling your spirit today and your energy, man, I feel blessed to have spent the time with you today and to be able to share this with, you know, millions of people that I love, that I believe in, my extended family, which is the audience. Last question for you. Chapter 20, it's a perfect way to finish this,
read my mind. I'm looking at it right here. You read my mind. You are on point. We connected, man. You read my mind.
Good. So just, I'll let you speak to that as we conclude, but it's such a huge thing in life and it's not written about almost ever. And then you did. So I want you to talk about that.
I'm talking about finishing. We all have a problem with finishing. I don't care if it's we could have a great conversation on the phone. Somebody would click over. Oh, I got to take that. Well, you didn't even finish this call, but you take another one. It could be, okay, I'm going to clean up my room today. And now we're distracted by call. But you ain't finished cleaning up the room like you said you were. Okay, you ain't finished the task that you said you had to handle. We have a problem with putting the period at the end of the sentence. We oftentimes put a comma, but then we don't finish the sentence. So I'm talking about always finish what you start in life. How many books have you started that you didn't finish? I can't do that. I can't do it. Like, that means your attention is scattered. That means something else could come up in life that has your attention, then something else could overtake that. And I'm not scattered like that, but I want you to finish. It says, if you quit something once, odds are that you'll do it again. Don't ever quit. Finish. The third thing is, everything in life moves forward. And you got to be progressive like that. Let me prove the point. Your eyes pointed forward. Your nose protrudes forward. The words come out your mouth go forward, not back there, they go forward. Your ears are curved forward. When you have your hands by your side, your thumbs are forward. Your feet forward. Everything you were designed to be is to progress and move forward. When you get excited, you know, when you start feeling it with that other companion, you know, everything erects forward. So why in the heck would I ever see you moving backwards when you were designed to go forward? And the last thought to that progression is, the only thing that comes out behind you is somewhat. I don't use profanity, but I could, right. Yeah. So everything we did was designed. Finishing is the end goal, but you got to enjoy the process and the journey. See, most people love and can't wait to conclude the journey. I'm in love with the process. I love the process of this, of rebuilding this dynasty that we're going to build right now. Everybody want to hurry up and win and get to that point. I want to win, but darn it, I love the process of it. I love when they're talking junk and they felt like they beat me and they talking. I go into press conference and say, okay, you better get me now, baby. Because you know I'm coming. Like, I love the process of building this thing. Because a lot of these guys who are attacking and saying stuff, they inherited a legacy. Guys like you and me, Ed, we build it. We build it from scratch, from nothing. They inherited. It was already there. They just had to jump in there. They could have chose anybody to jump in that seat and do what you're doing. Not us. And not us. We different, baby. We're builders, man. The movers and shakers. Yeah, we waymakers. And every waymaker I know is going to get shot at, but you got to keep moving. I'm not a hunter. I don't believe in killing nothing. Maybe a wild hog every now and then. But even learning hunting, we can only shoot something when it's still. We're not accurate when it's moving. So we're not going to let the devil or the enemy or these fools get a good shot at us. Hey, we're going to keep moving, baby. Let's keep moving.
Just give me one game. Like, just like one quarter, one game. Just stick me in when you're up like 42-3. Like, just 42-3, first 52-year-old senior. I'm telling you. You guys, let me just say this first of all. You all are welcome. Because you got to have this hour. You all are welcome. And then I want to tell you, Coach Prime, thank you. It was like, I was really excited about today. And then it like went 100 levels past where I thought we would be able to go. And that's just because of you. And frankly, your giving heart, like fully present, fully giving, as busy as you are. And you've affected millions of lives today. And I want everybody to go get Elevate and Dominate. That's your way of thanking Coach Prime. Go get a couple of them. Give one away as a gift, too. So, Coach, I just want to say thank you. God bless you, and thank you for being here, my friend.
Hey, thank you, and I apologize immensely. I'm never late, and I apologize. I really do. I hate that. I hate that, and I despise that totally because everybody knows me. No, I don't play by time. I do not play by time, and I apologize. That would never happen again, and I appreciate this platform, my man. I really do. You blessed me today. You're good at what you do. So you prompt me, man. Your spirit led me to give. I didn't have to close up or close in and be kind of reclusive. Like you got me to come out and do it, man. So I appreciate you. You're really good at what you do, my man.
Thank you. You brought it today. And by the way, I only had to wait 8 minutes, everybody. And that was worth waiting for. So, all right, Coach, thank you so much. God bless you, everybody. Max out your life.
This is the Ed Milet Show.